Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Through the Bible with Joe McGee. We're going from Genesis all the way to Revelation in chronological order, which is a whole lot better than hopping around. So most people that I've talked with over the years do not believe, or they didn't know that the Bible was written in chronological order from the longest book to the shortest book, but that's how it's written. And but we're doing it geographic. We're going to do it the way it was happen. So today we're finishing up Exodus, which has been an incredible book about when the law was given and what God was telling them how to live. And because they never known, they never had a relationship with God. They've been, you know, slaves in Egypt, you know, for 400 years, and they didn't know what to do. They didn't know who God was. They had run from God. And so, you know, evidently you run from God, eventually God's not around. So they cried out to God and said, Lord, we need help. So he sent a deliverer named Moses. Actually had a woman get pregnant that night. They cried out to God. So a lady gets pregnant, and 9 months later, she pushes a baby out. The baby's name's Moses. Now, the devil's not God. He cannot read your mind, but he does know when there's increased angelic activity. So I'm sure a lot of angels are flapping around the universe, and the devil knows something's going on. And so he demon-possesses Pharaoh, and Pharaoh has every baby boy 2 years of age and under killed. Because he knew from the Garden of Eden, God said, one day I'm going to come in the flesh, and I'm going to take this back. Now, Lucifer's a fallen angel. He is not on the same plane as God. He just knows what he hears. And so he knew, well, God's coming someday. And so he thought, well, this is God. God's been born somehow. And so demon possessed everybody. They kill the baby boys all up down the Nile River. So God has Moses' mama hide him in a basket, floats him down the river. Pharaoh's daughter finds him, and she couldn't have any children. Nobody knew that. There were no tabloids back then. So anyhow, she finds the baby. She says, I'll tell everybody this is my baby. And so Moses' mom walks up, and Pharaoh's daughter says, who are you? So, well, I'm a mother. I know you have a baby. And he said, I lost my child. Now, she wasn't lying. Technically, she had. I've lost my child, but my breasts are full of milk, and I would be glad to nurse that baby for you. So Pharaoh's daughter hires Moses' mama to nurse the baby. You know, if you ever watch Cease to Be the Meals of the Ten Commandments, it's in there. You just got to kind of look for it. And so what we are is we're in the chapter today where we're finishing up this Exodus and getting ready to start something new. So this is the last chapter, chapter 40. So I'm going to read today. I tell people I read from the New Living Translation. I like a lot of translations. Still study the King James, New King James. But when I read, or for like when I travel and teach, we do about 50 to 60 seminars a year. When I do radio or podcasts, I read New Living because it's easy to understand. And because most people today do not read their Bible. And so people ask me, if you get born again, said, what translation do you recommend? So my number one recommendation has always been read the New Living Translation, NLT. It's just real easy to understand. I don't study the NLT. I still study the King James. That's what all the reference books are written to, was the King James or New King James. But I love the New Living Translation. So chapter 40, New Living Translation. Tabernacle is being completed. Verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, set up the tabernacle on the first day of the new year. You know, God likes to do things in order. God, I'm going to start this. Well, God said, let's start it the first day of the new year. I mean, just like God. How's this thing going to start? On the first day of the new year. So place the Ark of the Covenant inside, install the inner curtain to close the Ark within the most holy place, then bring in a table and arrange the utensils on it. Bring in the lampstand, set up the lamps. Verse 5, place the gold incense altar in front of the Ark of the Covenant. Hang the curtain, the entrance of the tabernacle. Place the altar of burnt offering in the front of the tabernacle entrance. Set the wash basin between the tabernacle and the altar. Fill it with water. Now, you need to understand something. The Bible says God has the days of our life numbered. God has the hairs of our head numbered. God knows what you're thinking before you think it. You used to have hardly, sometimes we don't have a concept of who God is. He's the creator of the universe, holds everything together by the power of his word, sent his son to die for us, to save us, raise him from the dead. We serve an awesome God. Why would you get up any day of your life and not want to serve an awesome God who orders your steps, who directs your paths, who guides you into all truth, who shows you things to come? Why wouldn't you want to do that? So he says, place the altar, burn offering in front of the tabernacle entrance, set the wash basin between the tabernacle and the altar, fill it with water, then set up the courtyard around the outside of the tent and hang the curtain for the courtyard entrance. Verse 9, take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all of its furnishings. Now you think, well, what's with the anointing? I mean, some churches I still go to, anybody sick, we'll call for the elders, we'll anoint you with oil, and we'll pray over in the prayer of faith, we'll save the sick. Many churches, many denominations still do that. Well, it started here. God's real big on this. This is different. We set this apart. We're going to anoint this. And so, consecrate the furnishings by anointing them, make them holy. Anoint the altar of burnt offering and its utensils to consecrate them. Then the altar will become absolutely holy. Next, anoint the wash basin and its stand to consecrate them. Verse 12, present Aaron and his sons at the entrance of the tabernacle and wash them with water. Dress Aaron with the sacred garments and anoint him, consecrate him to serve as priest. Then present his sons and dress them in their tunics. Anoint them as you did the father, so they may serve as priests. With their anointing, Aaron's descendants are set apart for the priesthood forever. This wasn't a one-time deal. From generation to generation, Moses proceeded to do everything just as the Lord had commanded. So the tabernacle was set up on the first day of the month, the second year. Moses erected the tabernacle by setting down its bases, inserting the frames, attaching the crossbars, setting up the posts. You know, I remember when I was teaching high school many years ago, I spent a whole semester teaching out of the book of Leviticus. People don't like Leviticus. Nobody reads it. It's just, you know, so-and-so did this, did this. There's a reason it's in there. The reason the people that wrote the Bible left it in there. God's laying out why he did what he did. There's a reason for everything. Moses proceeded to do everything just the Lord commanded. So the tabernacle was set up for the first day of the month, second year. Moses erected the tabernacle by setting down its bases, setting the frames, attaching the crossbars, setting up the posts. Then he spread the coverings over the tabernacle framework, put the protective layers just the Lord had commanded him. He took some of the tablets, the stone tablets, inscribed with the terms of the covenant, placed them inside the ark. Then he attached the carrying poles to the ark, set the ark's cover. The placed the atonement on top of it. Then he brought in the Ark of the Covenant into the tabernacle, the one they made all the movies about. And so they come in and have an inner curtain to shield it from view, just as the Lord had commanded him. Verse 22, next Moses placed the tabernacle or a table in the tabernacle along the north side of the holy place, just outside the inner curtain, and arranged the bread of the presence of the table, a table before the Lord, just as the Lord commanded. And he kind of repeats himself, just as the Lord had commanded. How are you going to do that? Just as the Lord commanded. What are you going to do? We're going to just as the Lord commanded. And many people, you know, Christians, we've traveled the country for so long, 29 years now, and many, many churches of all denominations, but you'll find people who do fear God, who want to obey God, who want to please God. The Bible says there are no perfect people. The righteous fall seven times a day, but we know how to get back up. We know how to repent quick. We know how to forgive quick. We know how to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We're not a perfect people. We're getting back up people, but we're not ashamed of anything. The Bible says you and I can run boldly to the throne of grace to get mercy help in time of need. When you need God, you can't clean yourself up. You don't have the ability. You run boldly to the throne of grace. What for? To get mercy. What's mercy? You don't deserve it. You've not earned it, but God will give it. God is a merciful God. Then he set up the lampstand in the tabernacle across the table on the south side of the holy place. Then he lit the lamps in the Lord's presence, just as the Lord had commanded him. He also placed the gold incense altar in the tabernacle in the holy place in front of the inner curtain. On it, he burned a fragrant incense, just as the Lord had commanded. It's just over and over and over and over, just as the Lord had commanded. Look, I prayed this, I guess, since before my first child was born. I got saved and spirit-filled, I think, when I was 21. I've been saved, got saved, went down the altar when I was like 12 and in church. But I didn't really start serving God when I was 21. I got spirit-filled and started hanging out with full gods and businessmen. And I wondered what God had for me. I wanted to get to heaven. I want to hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I wanted to hear that. That's been my goal. What's your goal? When I finish my life, I'm going to hear those words. I want God to look at me and say, "Joe, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." That's the one I'm looking for. It says this: "Then he hung a curtain at the entrance of the tabernacle, placed the altar of burnt offering in the tabernacle entrance. On it, he offered a burnt offering, a grain offering, just as the Lord had commanded." Verse 30. "Next, Moses placed the wash basin between the tabernacle and the altar. He filled it with water so the priests could wash themselves. Moses and Aaron's sons used the water to wash their feet, wash their hands, whenever they approached the altar and entered the tabernacle. They washed themselves just as the Lord had commanded." Can you get the point? "They hung the curtains forming the courtyard around the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the curtain at the entrance of the courtyard." So at last, Moses finished the work. Tabernacle's built, just like God said, like he said. Verse 34. "Then," when Moses had finished, "then," when you're finished, "then the cloud covered the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could no longer enter the tabernacle because the cloud had settled down over it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Verse 36. "Now, whenever the cloud lifted from the tabernacle, the people of Israel set out their journey following it. But the cloud did not rise. They remained where they were until it lifted." Hey, who are you following? God. How do you know where God is? We're following the cloud. Follow the cloud. Wow, that's God's presence. God's teaching them to follow him. The cloud of the Lord hovered over the tabernacle during the day. At night, fire glowed inside the cloud, so the whole family of Israel could see it. They continued through this throughout all their journeys. Incredible story. This fascinating story. God's got a people. He's been looking for them for years and years. And they'd sin, repent, and sin, repent. But God's still there. God's faithful. So now God's going to take them to the promised land. They've been looking for it their whole life. They sung the songs about it. They've heard stories about it. Where are you going? Going to the promised land. We're going to live in houses we did not build, eat from vineyards we did not plant. God's just a good God. We're about to see it all. So when you read your Bible, just think, it's not an accident. It's not just some a group of men put together. It is the living, holy word of God. He had men of God write it down and preserve it. It's not just a everyday book. Matter of fact, it's the most printed book in the history of mankind. And so get your Bible out once a day and read you a proverb, read a psalm. It'll stir you up. And what it will do, it'll give you a hunger for more. So God bless you as you go today. Look forward to seeing you next time. Tune in next week when we get back into this. It's going to be really good. Going in a little bit because it's going to be exciting. God bless, guys.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.